Every day in the trial of Zhihar Tsarnaev is brought another riveting story or harrowing account, from the amputee victims of the marathon bombing to the scared young man who spent several hours captive in his own car with the Tsarnaev brothers, to the police who came under fire in the chaotic shootout that left the older brother Tamerlan dead. But as moving and emotional as those stories have been, the successful prosecution of a criminal in a death penalty case depends not just on testimony, but on physical evidence. Today, in Day 9, the prosecution turned to some of that evidence. This is Finish Line, inside the Boston Marathon bombing trial. From the Moakley Federal Courthouse in Boston, I'm David Boeri from WBUR.
And I'm Kevin Cullen from the Boston Globe.
In this very dry day today, very, very dry day of evidence and technical stuff, we saw the gloves go on and the detectives and the witnesses handling lots of physical evidence, including the prosecutors and the defense attorneys.
The biggest piece of evidence that we were talking about today was a glove itself, a bloody glove, a glove with blood on it. And I'm thinking, there's never been a high-profile case in America in which there's been...
Never.
Oh, wait a minute. Strike that, Your Honor. Strike that.
In the opening statements, the prosecutor had said that on the floor of the Honda Civic, now let's go back, the Honda Civic is the car that was controlled by Zhihar Tsarnaev. He says, on the floor of the Civic, on the driver's side, right beneath the defendant's feet, where he had been driving, officers found two bloody white gloves. DNA analysis shows that the blood on those gloves came from Officer Collier, the MIT police officer that they shot to death late Thursday night, April 18th. The prosecutor continues, that is one of the ways you will know that the defendant and his brother are the ones who killed Officer Collier.
This is really crucial to the prosecution. Bill Weinreb, in his opening statement, the prosecutor said that it doesn't matter who did what. But in fact, maybe that's true from a guilt phase, it's from a legal phase, but we all, David, you and I know, we are already talking about the penalty phase. This is about the extent of the culpability of Zhihar Tsarnaev. And the killing, the assassination, the murder of MIT police officer Sean Collier is something that the prosecution is desperate to show that Zhihar Tsarnaev was just as guilty as his brother Tamerlan. Now, Judy Clark, the defense attorney, said very categorically in her opening that Tamerlan Tsarnaev was the shooter. Presumably, we will hear from the defense more evidence about that, what she bases that on. But right now, we're left with that bloody gloves, these two mismatched white golf gloves. And obviously, the prosecution really wants the jury to believe that those gloves have Sean Collier's blood on them and that they were gloves that were controlled and worn by Zhihar.
And you and I know that, in fact, Zhihar Tsarnaev is guilty as charged under the government's theory. There's no question.
No question. No
There's
question.
No question. But the government knows what's going to happen on the mitigation phase. They want to remove any kind of doubt, so they want to hammer the point that it's Zhihar who had that gun, that it's him, and of course, the defense is using every opportunity now to say, in fact, it's the brother. The brother is the lead. That was the boiling battle underneath it all. So the gloves are found on the driver's side of that Honda Civic. Now, we know that after they killed the officer, Sean Collier, they drove off, they hijacked the Mercedes-Benz and the young man in the Mercedes-Benz. The person who hijacked him is Tamerlan Tsarnaev. He leaves
The Honda
Civic, goes to the Mercedes, gets in. Now you have Zhihar following in the Honda Civic. So he is driving the Honda Civic.
The other thing that, and it hasn't come up yet, but I went back and looked in the opening, that Weinreb says that not only was Collier's blood on those gloves, they were on the key to that car, and that key was on a UMass Dartmouth keychain, which was asserted as belonging to Zhihar because he was a student there. So obviously the prosecution is going to say the blood was on his keys on the car that he drove with his keychain.
Right. But that's not the end of the story. It's not certain that those are Zhihar's gloves. Tamerlan may have been in the driver's seat of that Honda Civic after they killed Collier, and they could have been his gloves in that way. However, I thought for the defense, the major accomplishment for the defense today was to establish that Adidas hoodie that was cut off Zhihar in the operating room was tested for 8 splotches of blood. And here, the same person who identifies the blood on the gloves says, in fact, there's no sign of Sean Collier's blood on Jahar's sweatshirt. Sean Collier was killed at point-blank range. The idea that Jahar leaned in at point-blank range and shot him and would have a sweatshirt that doesn't have any blood makes no sense at all.
I saw Bill Weinreb tried to claw back, and what he got the analyst to say was that they only swabbed areas where it was obvious there was blood, where they had been directed by another technician. But it was possible that there was other blood there. But possible just doesn't cut it when we're talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, technically he's correct, but the power is the fact that this sweatshirt of Jahar, when he is supposedly right there in front of Collier, I mean, it's a sad thing, a tragic thing for that officer. He bled out. He bled out in his seat, so there's a pool of blood there. In addition, another point for the defense, and I thought a strong point for them, was the discovery of the magazine to that 95 Ruger that's used to kill Collier is found right by the driver's seat of the Mercedes-Benz that was driven and only driven
by
as far as we could see by Tamerlan Zinayev.
Yes, I think that was a crucial finding for the defense, or at least a crucial assertion they made. I still keep coming back, if in fact what we're really doing, David, is trying to cut to the chase and to the penalty phase, even if the jury has questions about whether Jahar Zinayev shot Sean Collier or whether he was an equal partner in that murder, earlier in the trial, it was clearly established that Jahar Zinayev took a bomb off his shoulder, put it behind a bunch of children, and stood there for nearly 4 minutes, knowing clearly what would happen when that bomb exploded. So I wonder if we're paying too much attention to this. But something tells me the way that the defense and the prosecution, by the way, those are the longest sidebars that have happened during
the
trial. They are both fighting tooth and nail, mostly in camera, over the admission of this evidence and the way the evidence is being characterized. And so it seems to me that both the defense and the prosecution do believe that this issue over the bloody glove is absolutely crucial.
Right.
There was a minor piece of evidence. It was just introduced, and you know, it's something that in passing it wasn't that big of a deal, but when it comes to the prosecution asserting that they were equal partners in this conspiracy, there was a receipt that was put up on the screen, and it showed that Jahar paid for the rental of 2 9-millimeter guns like the Ruger that was used, and that the both of them engaged in target practice at Manchester, New Hampshire gun range on March 20th, 2013. So right there, it wasn't one rental, there were two, and both brothers fired at that range.
Let's talk about the other receipts. The fact that the receipts are in Tamerlan's wallet, the receipts for the purchase of 2 backpacks from a Target, as well as a Home Depot receipt for a soldering gun that presumably was used
building
in fashioning
bombs.
The bomb. And then you have those MoneyGram transfers, the 900 that goes to Russia, it points to Tamerlan.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, does anybody doubt, if you believe the picture that's been drawn of Tamerlan as violent, as ready to explode, is there any doubt that he could have gotten a gun if he wanted to? He didn't need his brother to get a gun. That he's in the world, a shady world of mixed martial arts. He knows drug dealers. He may be involved in violence involving drug dealers. The thought that he needs his brother to get a gun seems a little far-fetched.
Well, on the joint venture of it, the prosecution just asserts that Sean Collier was shot with a gun that was obtained by Jahar Zinayev. The evidence was pretty overwhelming on that. Whatever we think of Steve Silver, the person that testified to that, the evidence seems strong on that. The fact that both of them trained at a firing range together, I guess that was so both could use a weapon. Both would know how to handle a weapon, particularly a 9-millimeter handgun, which the Ruger was. So there's an awful lot pointing to that joint venture on that front. Whether, you know, we go back to Bill Weinreb's words, it doesn't matter who shot Sean Collier. They were both there.
Except, again, when we get to the end, it does matter. That brings us to the end of Day 9, which turns out to be more dramatic than we thought it was while listening to much of it. Day 9 in the death penalty trial of Jahar Zainayev, and you've been listening to Finish Line, inside the Boston Marathon bombing trial. From the Moakley Federal Courthouse in Boston, I'm David Boeri from WBUR.
And I'm Kevin Cullen from the Boston Globe.
Join us again tomorrow.
Finish Line, Inside the Boston Marathon Bombing Trial, is a co-production of WBUR and the Boston Globe. New episodes of the podcast will be released multiple times a week throughout the trial after court lets out for the day. You can listen at WBUR.org and at bostonglobe.com, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where new episodes will appear as soon as they're released. Go to the podcast section of iTunes and search Finish Line to subscribe. Thanks for listening.